It's currently 50 degrees. KQEN News Time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, thank you for being here this afternoon. Another day, another topic on Inside Douglas County. Checking in today with Megan Graham, Executive Director of Saving Grace Pet Adoption Center. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
So you've had a pretty busy, probably chaotic few months like everybody else. How's it going out there?
It's going great, Kyle. We finished out 2020 on a great note. We actually adopted out all of the animals in the shelter. We're home for the holidays. So that was really cool.
You know, I was fascinated when that happened. You hear about people sometimes getting pets around the holidays, but sometimes that's not a good idea. So you've got to kind of vet people and talk through that.
Sure. Yeah. And nationally, they've done some studies on that. It's been pretty interesting. We actually have a very low return rate for animals that are adopted around the holidays. And that seems to be sort of a myth, as long as you stick to your regular adoption counseling protocols that we usually do with folks and just make sure it's a good fit, and usually it works out just fine.
I imagine that sometimes that is from well-meaning relatives who have no clue about what your life is like.
Right.
Oh, they'd like one of those.
Right.
And then you're like, how do I navigate this? Or my house isn't big enough, or I have no yard, or things like that.
Yeah. We still go through all of our normal adoption policies and work directly with the families who are going to be adopting the animals and make sure that everyone, for the most part, knows what's going on before they adopt the animals. So
talk about that process. If somebody came in and wanted, they said, okay, I want to get a medium-sized dog, and you've got however many that are available to be adopted. But what's that process like when you talk through that whole thing with folks to make sure they really are getting the right type of animal?
Sure, it can be pretty interesting. Our dog team is trained in counseling folks to make sure that the match is appropriate for both the dog and the person, because we want it to be a forever match if possible. And so oftentimes people will come in and think that they just have their heart set on this one particular dog. And then once we let them know that that particular dog needs a lot of exercise or doesn't like to really be super active, then they'll oftentimes change their mind and we'll redirect them towards a dog that might be more appropriate for their home and their lifestyle. So
do you ever have a situation where you say, no, what you need is a cat, not a dog?
I don't know about that. I'm sure it's happened once before, but I don't think it happens too often.
I mean, because cats are very self-sufficient.
Yes.
They can be in, they can be out. You can leave feed wherever, and you can be gone for a couple of days, and they're fine. Dogs, not so much.
Yeah, definitely. If we, ran into a situation where someone really was very busy or traveled a lot, we may recommend a cat instead of a dog.
So what's it, do you feel like you've kind of got everything after the chaotic start that you had? And if you were not listening at the time or haven't heard, your day one was day one of the Archie Creek fire and everything that went with that, which was just like baptism by fire. I mean, that was just crazy. But do you feel like you've kind of got a grasp of, your initial goals and getting some things moving?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually am really excited about 2021. We've got some really cool programs that we're going to be focusing on this year. And it's been nice to get back into kind of what feels a lot more normal, despite, COVID is still a thing. So it's never going to be quite normal until that's passed, hopefully soon. But like I said, we do have a lot of great programs that we're looking forward to here in 2021.
What are some of those?
Well, one of them is we're going to be focusing extensively on our reuniting lost pets with their owners. So we are taking part in a national initiative called the Return to Home Grant Opportunity, being put on by Maddie's Fund, which is a national animal welfare foundation. And it is going to give us an opportunity to reevaluate the strategies that we currently use for getting pets back to their families and try to come up with some creative new ways that we can get pets back home, because the last thing we want to do is create a homeless pet when someone's out there looking for their animal.
And you see that on social media. There's some different pages on Facebook and probably other places too, where people put up pictures, and it's interesting because sometimes you see the end result and they find the owner and all of that, and it's a dog that just got out again or whatever. Sometimes you you don't know what happens. And I've actually seen, running around town, signs sometimes from people, dog lost and all of that. And you just, and then occasionally you see an animal that seems like it's lost, but it's not your neighborhood, so you don't necessarily know. And so you kind of hang back and just, try to figure out if you should do anything or not. Occasionally, though, and you had one of these recently where an animal ended up going missing, and it was a long time later, but you had a happy end result.
Yeah, so there, you have a lot, you encompassed a lot right there, Kyle. But so essentially, I guess, when you do see a pet that seems to be lost, more often than not, that pet lives nearby. So just keep that in the back of your mind when you do find a stray animal. If you're willing to try to find the owners yourself, that is wonderful. And like I said, oftentimes it's your neighbor's dog and you don't even know, or your neighbor's cat. So knocking on doors is a great way to help the shelter keep animals with their families. If you've lost a pet, you mentioned putting up posters, and that's a great thing to do if you've lost a pet, in addition to calling the shelter, filing a loss report, and checking to see if we have your pet, and asking your neighbors. And then you mentioned the story about Lexi, who was the cat from Arizona who had a microchip. And that is why Lexi found her way home, because she had that microchip. So that is probably the most important thing that you can do to ensure that your pet will find its way home if they are lost, is to have them microchipped.
So tell us a little bit more about that story.
Sure. So Lexi and her family were camping in their RV. They were up from Arizona. I believe they were in the Diamond Lake area when they were getting ready to leave. And this was back in August. And Lexi got out of the RV and she went missing. And unfortunately, they stayed for weeks afterwards trying to find her, and they could not find her, and they had to go back. So they had to leave her, go back to Arizona. And they had mentioned to the camp host that they had hoped that they would, keep an eye out for her and try to find her. But they had pretty little hope when they left that she would be found. So what ended up happening was an ODOT worker spotted her. Gosh, I think this was in November when it was starting to snow. And she had somehow survived for about 2 months on her own. And she was in pretty rough shape when the ODOT worker found her. He took her in and was caring for her, and then decided that he needed to probably take her in to see if she had a microchip. So he brought her up to Saving Grace. We scanned her for a chip, and sure enough, she had a microchip. We called the owners right away. They let us know that they were in Arizona. And then it was a matter of just finding her a ride. So we actually put a call out on Facebook. We got so much response from the community. They were really amped up about finding her a ride. And we ended up having a volunteer who was heading down to Arizona in a few weeks. And so Lexi was able to hitch a ride with our volunteer, Janice, and got back to her family. And probably the best part of the story was that her family had three young children, who the parents did not tell the children that Lexi had been found because they wanted to make sure that she was home first. So it was a complete surprise to the children when Lexi showed up a couple weeks ago.
Wow. I hope somebody's got that on video. That probably was a very cool moment, and yet very rare.
Yes, actually very rare for cats. Only about 3% of cats, even when they're microchipped, find their way back to their owners. So it's really important not only to get the microchip, but to keep the information updated.
So talk about when you're looking ahead to the new year, some of the things that you would like to do.
So the other big project, in addition to our Return to Home initiative, is going to be a focus on high volume, high quality spay and neuter that is affordable or hopefully free for our community, at least in one big event. That's kind of our goal, is to have one big event in the fall where we're going to partner with an organization called Animal Balance, who travels internationally to put on what we consider a MASH-style spay and neuter clinic, so like the show MASH, but for spaying and neutering animals. So we'd like to host a large event out at Saving Grace where we could provide this service for hundreds of animals locally.
Wow, and that kind of sounds like some of the, vaccination clinics or COVID testing clinics or things like that, as people have found the framework to do those things. It's cool to see that maybe being able to apply to something you can do to help animals.
Yeah, right now we are seeking funding for this project. If we don't get it funded, we won't be able to do it, unfortunately, but we're looking at some grant funding right now. We're hoping to have some local donors step up and help us cover the costs of putting on this program, but we're really excited about that. And then hopefully that would segue into an ongoing program where we could provide affordable spay and neuter for local animals on an ongoing basis.
Any idea how much you need to fundraise to make all this happen?
To do what we want to do, which would be ideally about 500 spay and neuter vaccinations for cats and dogs in Douglas County, we're looking at roughly $25,000 to $30,000.
So if somebody wanted to help out, how do they do that?
They can contact me at executivedirector@savinggrace.info, or you can go on our website and simply make a donation via our website with a note as to what it was for.
All right, Megan Graham from Saving Grace Pet Adoption Center. More when we come back on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1, KQEN Local Talk at 4 with Northwest Wine Radio coming up today. And on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, Superintendent Michael Thrasher of the Douglas Education Service District. We're going to talk about COVID-19 vaccinations for educators and related topics on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Megan Graham, Executive Director of Saving Grace Pet Adoption Center, talking about new things you'd like to see in 2021. We've already hit a few. Are there others?
Yes, there are going to be lots of others, but at the moment, so we're going to, I guess, fundraising initiatives are one thing that, you know, we have to have funding to be able to do these programs that we want to implement. So one of the ideas that we have, well, the first thing we have coming up is our Valentine's Day bake sale, which is a virtual bake sale, which you'll be able to purchase your Valentine's Day goodies for your sweetheart all online and then do a drive-through pickup at the shelter. So that starts on February 8th. Then we'll be advertising on our website and all over social media, and you'll be able to make your order online.
I would suspect that a virtual bake sale has less calories.
No, of course it does. Everything's, fat-free, calorie-free, and all the money goes to the animals. It's perfect.
You can just look at the picture of the thing you're not really supposed to eat.
Yes, exactly.
And then order it for somebody else and let them figure out what to do. It's amazing. I mean, it's what can we not do virtually these days?
It's pretty cool.
It's very different, and the idea doing that sounds like a cool idea. As you look back at last year, especially your part of it, what are some of the things you feel like Saving Grace accomplished?
Well, I think most importantly, you know, we're looking at what we accomplished in terms of how many animals left our building. And we did more adoptions last year than we ever have before, which was 1,568 total adoptions. And so this year we're also going to be, you know, because that's a really great number for us, we're going to be looking again at how can we keep more animals in their homes, not only returning them to their families when they're lost, but what can we do to make sure that people don't have to surrender their pets at all in the first place. So, you know, we're trying to move towards a more progressive model of animal sheltering after a great year of adoptions and really getting to a point where I think we're ready to take that step. So, you know, that was one of our biggest accomplishments. Of course, the empty shelter was huge. We had an overwhelming number of volunteers. I can't remember exactly. I think maybe we had about 150 new volunteers who showed up last year to help us foster animals during COVID, helped us during the fires. My gosh, we had a huge turnout of new volunteers. So that was another huge highlight.
Were you maybe surprised coming to what was basically a kind of a new community for you in a lot of ways to see that level of response?
Yeah, actually, I mean, especially, you know, having, like you said, I started during the wildfires, and that was just, that was overwhelming to the point of being emotional, that it was just so cool to see so many people show up and bring us supplies and just be there in the morning when we asked for help. There was literally a line out the door of people who wanted to help. And that was just wonderful to see. And I knew I had made the right choice in coming to Douglas County.
Wow. Yeah, it's been obviously it's been quite the year for any kind of organization. And especially, I think, probably as a nonprofit, there's been probably a lot of concerns, but some of the data I've seen shows that overall people were actually more generous in 2020 than normal.
Yeah, we were pretty scared, like a lot of other nonprofits, I think, because we do rely heavily on donations. It's, you know, almost 50% of our income comes from individual and business donations. And when individuals and businesses, especially locally, are hurting, you know, they tend to obviously not be able to give. And that was a big concern. But surprisingly and thankfully, we've sailed through this year and we came out, you know, doing pretty well. And we're still doing pretty well. And the support from our community, you know, both financially and in terms of service at the shelter has been just incredible.
Now, you've put together an annual report, or maybe that's kind of still in the process. When is that going to be out there for folks to take a look at?
Yeah, we are just finishing up our 2020, you know, Community Impact Annual Report. It's going to be available on our website next week, and we'll also have some printed versions of it, which will go out to our higher donors and people who've been involved and supported the shelter for a long time. If you're interested, you can always pick up a printed copy up at the shelter, too.
Now, you talked about getting a lot of volunteers this year. What are some of the things that people can do as volunteers?
Yeah, so all kinds of things, really. I always say that we'll find something for you if you're interested in helping, you know, from administrative work to walking dogs to socializing our cats. But probably my favorite program is our Fido Field Trips program. I just did an advertisement for the newspaper where I said never hike alone again, because you can just come down to the shelter, give one of our shelter dogs a break for a day, because it does get, you know, difficult, I think, for them to be in the shelter for a couple weeks at a time, usually, before they get adopted. They could use some time out. And our Fido field trips allow people to come down and pick up a dog, take him out for a hike, or take him to the dog park, or to Starbucks for a puppuccino. And it's a really nice program.
Is that an actual drink?
It is. Oh. It's just whipped cream in a Dixie cup, I think.
But. Okay. That one I hadn't heard of. And I know most coffee drinks, as most people probably can attest to. For animals, it's interesting. Sometimes you think about animals being in shelters and you don't think about you just want to know that they're safe, but mm-hmm. you don't think about the psychological impact of that. And a lot of people have trouble figuring out psychology for people, let alone animals.
Yeah, you know, as great as our shelter is, and as great, you can make any animal shelter the best of the best, and we still don't want animals housed there for long periods of time, because it's just not fair to the animal to not be in a home with a family. You know, dogs are very social animals, and they like to be around people, and it's just kind of a something that you can't really avoid at the shelter, is that they get limited access to people and limited interactions, and they don't get to sleep in a bed, you know, with their family, and they don't get, you know, they get a routine, but it's just not the same. So, you know, it wears on them as time goes by, and they get anxiety. And that's why one of the other projects that we're doing right now is we are turning our two meet and greet rooms into doggy bedrooms. So these are going to be more comfortable kennels that are appropriate for housing dogs, that will allow the dogs who experience severe anxiety while they're in their kennels to have a different space. So these dogs are going to be able to have a more kind of cozy, comfortable space that still allows us to disinfect it and is still appropriate for housing for long periods of time, but will also be able to still be used as a meet and greet room. So,
wow, that's kind of thinking. I'm thinking out of the box. That's kind of a cool idea. How many staff do you have out there?
We have 18 total.
What are some of the things they do?
Our staff primarily does animal care, but we rely on volunteers for our animal care significantly, for walking dogs, for helping to clean the cat condos and to feed and water animals. We need volunteers. If we didn't have volunteers, we literally couldn't do it. We have a pretty small staff for the number of animals that we take in. So we take in roughly 3,500 animals a year. And then, you know, a lot of those animals find their way back to their homes. A lot of them are adopted. They all have a kind of a different pathway when they come through our doors. But our staff of 18 is relatively minimal for that number of animals.
Wow. And how many square feet in that facility?
Ooh. I want to say somewhere around 20,000 square feet, but don't quote me exactly. It might be a little more than that.
So a lot of, you know, decent amount of space, but sometimes a lot of animals.
Yeah, yeah. You know, thankfully, we manage our population pretty closely, and we're able to do that through a lot of the programs that we have. And we're able to make sure that we never have more animals than we should be caring for, given our, you know, staff and volunteer numbers. So we're pretty good about that, but it can get overwhelming at times.
And again, if people want to help you out financially or get involved in something else, where do they go?
SavingGracePetAdoptionCenter.org.
All right, Megan Graham, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
1257 at News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.